It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I've kind of got a headache. So if you could just do the podcast and keep it down, that would be great. Like, quiet. Like, maybe this is the time we branch into ASMR. Just saying. Like,
did you have a
it seems like a good
party last night or something?
No, this is the thing. When I was young, headaches didn't bother because I would take pills and the headaches would go away.
Hmm.
And I was raised in such a way. I know a lot of people are like very hesitant to take medication, like over the counter medications for things. I was raised in a household where, no, that's what you have, this thing, this over the counter medication deals with that thing, then you take that thing. But now that I'm older, I have also learned that regularly taking over the counter pain medications will raise my blood pressure.
Oh.
So now I am more hesitant, but I hate headaches because, I'm not counting migraines. That is a separate monstrosity, but William, let's say you got a headache right now. What would that be indicative of? Like, what would that be a symptom of? Why do you have a headache? Exactly. I mean, I guess people who are listening audio don't know, but William had a facial expression that was like, geez, I don't know, which, to be fair, he has a lot. But in this case, it is appropriate. A headache is a symptom of like literally everything.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes maybe I need to eat, or sometimes maybe I'm dehydrated, or sometimes.
And sometimes you need sleep. And then after those three, you're fine. I mean,
who really knows? Yeah. You could have the flu. It could be, yeah. Who knows?
You could. I mean, is there an illness that doesn't have headache as one of its symptoms?
I don't know.
Like leprosy, maybe? Do you get headaches with leprosy? I don't.
I'm not sure if headaches accompany like a heart attack or something.
This is the thing. The only things I can think of that don't have headaches as a symptom are things that have such intense pain of another fashion. That if you had a headache, you probably wouldn't.
I wouldn't know.
So yeah, heart attack, ulcerative colitis or Crohn's. That's a great one. Various forms of physical trauma. Like, so I hate headache because like sometimes I have a headache. I'm like, oh, I'm clearly thirsty or I haven't eaten or I should probably sleep. But the thing is, in my life, not eating and not drinking enough and not sleeping enough generally. Not things that come up. So when I get a headache, it's usually like, all right, maybe your sinuses are a little clogged, or maybe you have brain cancer. Like, we don't, or anywhere in between those two things.
Right.
All of the conditions you might have. It is the let's go check WebMD of symptoms. That's good. I want to go to WebMD and type in headache and see what it tells me.
Yeah.
So it would just be like, well, you might have everything. I do think a lot, like today, I think it might be, I don't know. That's the other thing, is you can have stuffed up sinuses even when your nose is clear.
Mm-hmm.
And that drives me nuts too. Basically, human bodies are ridiculous. Like, what are we even doing here?
Yeah,
and that's to say nothing of all the biological functions that if you stop and think about them for a second, you're like, that's really weird.
Yeah.
Like, I get it from a evolutionary standpoint, but things like farting, urination, those are weird. If you stop and like think about it, that's weird.
So when I wrote that that little short story about a photosynthesizing alien race that visits Earth. You know, one of the things they talk about is that while humans, it's very important, talking, verbal communication is very important. Virtually none of the organs we use for that are originally for that. It's all for eating and breathing.
There you go.
And maybe making noises to like warn each other of danger, but none of the stuff we use to talk was originally for us to talk. Our verbal mode of communication anyway relies completely on our digestive, how our eating system works. And there's a lot of other weird things involved in that. So it's really interesting when you think about it, you kind of step outside and you kind of look at it, like you said, does this make sense? Is this how an engineer would put this together? I remember watching a movie once about, it was a fictional movie about someone who invented a artificial heart. And the heart he made was just a pump, you know, just whir, you know, like, yeah. And someone looked at it and said, but this doesn't pump through, you know, ventricles or anything like that. And the guy was like, what kind of inefficient pump is that? All you need this thing to do is send blood through. It doesn't have to do it in a pulse. It doesn't have to do it through four ventricles. It doesn't have to make
because the oxygenation doesn't happen at the heart. It happens at the lungs. That's a good point. There's no reason for, oh my goodness.
Now that movie was like 20 years old. Someone might've thought, well, your body's used to that rhythm. So it does kind of have to pulse or whatever. But the basic idea of the blood pumping through when the guy in the movie just made this thing that's just a motor that just moves the blood, and everyone was saying, but it doesn't anything like a real heart. He was like, what? His argument was nature isn't an intentional designer. It basically just puts it together however it works. Human beings can come up with something that's more efficient that works.
It's just as good. Iterative. It's not a design. It's just iterative. Let's try all the things and see what lives.
Yep. Yep. So I thought that was interesting when I saw that movie. I thought, I wonder what else is like that. But you see people who have prosthetic limbs, and so some of them are like this, especially if it's legs. Well, this is one of the best things that ever happened to me because I can put on these different types of limbs for different types of purposes. I can run faster. I can jump higher.
Yeah, the fucking running blades or whatever.
Yeah.
Those things look awesome. It reminds me a little bit, and I don't know why this came up recently. The old short story. I'm really embarrassed. It's one of the, what I think of as the second generation of big sci-fi authors. So like it's Harlan Ellison or it's Spider Robinson or somebody like that. But the one about thinking meat, do you know this one? Somebody made a short film of it with Tom Noonan on YouTube. If you type in thinking meat, I think you'll be able to find it. But yeah, it's basically two aliens get together and finally have figured out how humans work. And it's like, they're made of meat. And they're like, what are you talking about? And they're like, the system is meat. And they're like, you mean like they have a meat body, but not in the mind? Like, no, the whole thing is meat. And they're like, that doesn't make any sense. How is that possible? I do love that. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Magical Talking Hat Podcast. Oh, sorry. Welcome to the Magical Stalking Cat Podcast. The only podcast in the world. Is trying to do some rebranding. See what we come up with. I don't love that one. Because cats stalk normally. So it's not particularly magical.
Maybe it does it on a broomstick or something.
Yeah, we're workshopping. We'll come back. Whatever. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 644.
I don't know why I thought of this today. It was probably in the shower because this is a very shower thought kind of thing. But I thought if there's a situation where like you are primed to receive a comeuppance, somebody could be like, Will. I All right. For those of you, you know, just
whenever,
joining us,
whenever we're watching a movie and some character says "fire at will,"
yes,
I always panic or pretend I'm panicking.
I am confident. I've talked about this like 4 times on the podcast, but the weird ass Jungle Book meets Casablanca cartoon tailspin had the bad guy at one point. There's some situation where they're getting away or whatever, and he's like, "At will," and then you're, and he's like, "No, don't fire at will. He is my second mate. Fire at them." And that's like the only joke I remember from that whole show. And I watched a lot of that show, but I love that joke.
That's pretty good.
I believe the villain's name was Don Carnage. Don Carnage. It was a weird ass. Baloo, the bear from Jungle Book, was basically a seaplane pilot in this sort of unspecified banana republic. And they had this company with a couple other people, and like Shere Khan was, I think, the mayor of the city. It was bizarre. It was like, it's one of those, like, if you saw Jungle Book, the Disney film, and then later did a lot of drugs, you would assume it never happened. But it was a fairly long-running and successful Disney cartoon. I don't know. I don't want to say why. I know why it was successful. It's a good show. I don't know how. I don't know how they got to there. It's weird. And it didn't need it, other than a couple of characters that had nothing to do with the Jungle Book. But it had a couple of very specific characters that were very specifically from the Jungle Book for no reason. Real weird. Anyway, for those of you just joining us, this is going to be a two-parter. So I'm only going to explain the rules now. So if later you break them and you get punished, you have no one to blame but yourself. You got to listen. We have a hat. It is magic. See, calling it a cat is even, that's not going to be great. Because it's not, it's a hat.
But yeah, right. No.
I have not thought this through. Anyway, we have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People write into that email address with whatever the crap they want, really. Most commonly, it's a lot of questions, sometimes just sort of topics. But whatever you want, really. And the hat magically forwards those emails to us. We read them, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the show. And we're going to do two of them today. So the energy is going to dip hard next week. Just saying. So how's your week been?
Oh, it's just mostly been school oriented stuff. And
now, are you sure? You didn't watch any huge movies or something?
No, no.
No, you're not sure?
No, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, have you heard of this sort of thing where people are talking about watching the Barbie movie and Oppenheimer in a double feature? Have you heard about this?
No!
They're calling it like Barbieheimer or Oppen Barbie or something. They're calling it that, but it's like a thing online. Everyone's talking, oh yeah, we're gonna watch, and they're debating about, well, which do you watch first? Do you watch Oppenheimer first? Or... Now, I'm all for a double feature. Even this one does sound appealing, except Oppenheimer's long. It's like 3 hours long. I mean, I don't think 3 hours is pretty long for me, even just for one movie. Now, if I'm double featuring it and they're like 2 hours a piece, that's okay because there's like a break in between, right? But 3 hours, I don't know. Especially if I watch a 2 hour thing first, but I'm definitely not in the mood of watching a 2 hour movie after a 3 hour movie. I don't think I could do it.
The year is 2023.
Yes. Yeah.
Director Christopher Nolan has made a film about the guy who was the most instrumental in creating the atomic bomb.
Yes, very good way to put it.
I am hard pressed to find aspects that could make me want to see this movie less. I guess on a certain level, I kind of get it. And it's Cillian Murphy. So that's good. But Christopher Nolan, to me at this point, has lost his mind. I'm pretty confident I never want to see any of his movies going forward. As has been the case with the last couple. And on top of that, I never want to see a goddamn movie about Oppenheimer. Maybe a documentary sometime, but I'm not interested, and I don't think it's going to be good. Like, I don't.
I'm interested in it. Actually, the anniversary for the Trinity test was just on Sunday, so it's kind of timely.
Well,
I'm sure they're releasing
and
it.
At its best, we still get the issue that I hate biopics because they notoriously give a very inaccurate portrayal of individuals.
Yeah,
so right. If the one reason I can think of for wanting to see the movie is you want to know more about Oppenheimer, and I think a biopic is a terrible way to do that. But anyway,
I agree.
I don't even want to talk about that.
Okay.
I want to talk about the Barbie movie.
Oh, the Barbie movie. All right.
Yes. I don't have a ton of data points, but I have enough that I'm starting to wonder now. I have this feeling that a lot of people, until very recently, and maybe even not then, don't get it. Like, don't get what the Barbie movie is. That it's, like, subversive.
Yeah, probably will be. Yeah,
and my mind is kind of blown by this. Now, to be fair, we had help, Trish and I, because it very clearly says directed by Greta Gerwig,
right?
And that's a huge tip off. I'm sure. Willing to believe some people don't know who that is, and that's fine. But I'm just like, I have such a hard time seeing even just the first teaser trailer and thinking, oh yeah, this is essentially a kid's movie. This is essentially just the toy as a movie, you know, like other toys that got movies, like the Transformers movie or whatever. Yeah, no, clearly that's what's, I have talked to multiple people. Well, who are like, can't believe they're making that. It's going to be so dumb. Or other people who are like, this is embarrassing to say, but I think I want to watch the Barbie movie because I think it's going to be like not what we think it is. I don't know. Does this make me an intellectual elitist? I don't know. Am I smug? But I'm just like, really? Y'all thought it was just like a by the numbers Barbie movie?
I mean, I think the preview, which has title cards that say, you know, something like, if you love Barbie, this movie's for you. But if you hate Barbie, this movie's for you. And there's plenty of scenes that indicate they're going to poke fun at this property and they're going to, you know,
and I think like that. discuss the my assumption / hope is they are going to discuss / deconstruct the cliched assumptions attached to Barbie's messaging.
Right. I mean, I think
that
you're
being
see...
said, as Trish pointed out, this is not a thinly veiled parody of Barbie. This is Barbie, which means Mattel is fucking on board.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't exactly skewer Barbie.
I mean, I think Barbie is a complex cultural artifact because
absolutely.
I mean, clearly, I don't know how anyone can deny that there are problematic aspects to Barbie. But also, Barbie's had every job.
Yes.
Every single
one. There are also
one.
Undeniably feminist aspects to Barbie.
Sure. Like, I was recently reminded of a 1985 commercial, Barbie commercial, that was all about how girls can do anything. And it meant anything. Like, it was showing them being astronauts and being scientists. And so it was... It was one of the most feminine, and I remember
girls
this commercial.
Girls can transubstantiate.
I remember this commercial back in 1985, and it was unambiguously feminist. Unambiguously. Now, when you go by Barbie and you see that her feet are stuck in a position, or she's in high heels and she's got
Or when you pull the string and it says math is hard, let's go shopping instead. Like,
and you have a hard time finding a Barbie that matches your skin tone or whatever. Yeah, all of that. But that, you know, there are other aspects where the people, let me just put it this way, the people who were, it's kind of like people who made Disney princess movies. Those people thought they were doing feminist stuff. And in some ways, yeah,
there are aspects. There are definitely aspects.
But then in other ways, not so much. So it's, and I think that's the thing. It's nuanced.
If you focus on one specific message, you get blinders to all the other messages that you're saying without.
Yeah, that's what I think too. That's what I think too. And I think the movie, I think one of the, well, from what I can tell with the data points I have, is that Greta knows that this is a complex cultural thing. And I think she's going to address all that. Well, one, for one thing, in the Barbie world where all the other Barbies are, there's not just white Barbies, because there aren't just white Barbies. There are other Barbies. It might be hard for you to find them, but they do exist. And, you know, it's going to highlight that she's had all these careers and stuff. So Greta knows that stuff, and that's going to be in there. So I don't know what kind of nice, because the fact of the matter is, for me, the best cultural commentary knows how to, you know, ride that razor's edge and go, you know, there's this and there's this.
Neither solidly glorifying or solidly decrying anything, really, ideally.
Because the fact of the matter is,
if you need to get morally unambiguous, stick with Nazis and zombies. Outside of that, it doesn't work so well.
Well, and also, anyone who knows anything about comedy knows that what makes people laugh, you know, is when you say something, it's funny because it's true, right? And the thing is, if you pick a side, you're going to miss enough of the truth that it's not going to be funny. So if your goal is to be funny, you're going to have to be able to cover the whole spectrum, because people intuitively know that there's a spectrum of things, and you need to basically include it all, or you're not going to come across as speaking the truth. And that's people laugh at when something's true, when someone reveals a truth that they usually take for granted, or they usually don't think about, or they're afraid to say out loud. That's when it's funny. And you can't pick a side and tell that truth, I don't think.
What I also think is fascinating, and don't get me wrong, Margot Robbie,
I think it's Robbie. I think I've heard her say it, but maybe not.
I thought it was Robbie. Somebody recently was really leaning into Robbie lately, so I was worried. But it has two B's, I'm pretty sure. By the way, I do know for certain it is Cillian Murphy. I learned that not long ago. That one is definite. It's Cillian, not Cillian. I myself think Cillian sounds like it makes more sense, but it is Cillian, and it's a language that's not mine. So what the fuck am I to say? But anyway, also, Margot Robbie is the best casting choice for that part that has been or ever will be on just a variety of, not just the look. Obviously, she's got the look, but her whole attitude to acting, like, it's perfect. That being said, this movie has been in some development issues for a few years, and when it was originally put out, attached to star was Amy Schumer.
Right.
I kind of want to hop to the universe next over and see what that movie looked like.
Now, Schumer has said, I'm very curious. There were other people behind the camera. I mean, I don't know if it was always
Gerwig. Yeah, I think Gerwig came later too, yeah.
Okay, well, when Schumer was looked at and working with whoever that was before Greta, they had creative differences, and that's why Schumer left it. And now Schumer has said when she looks at what Gerwig's doing, well,
she would have done that.
Yeah, she would have done that.
And I have a major love-hate thing with Amy Schumer. I think Amy Schumer is brilliant. I think Amy Schumer is a very serious feminist, and I think that shows up in her work, and I like that. Some of her stuff I also really don't like, and also I don't know. There are some people that like try and get really feminist but also play a lot of their comedy to sort of gender essentialism at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I find that very problematic. And I think Schumer is like that. Mm-hmm. And maybe the answer is I'm not living in the real world. I don't know, but I've never really lived in the real world, and I prefer it that way. So.
Well, but it's just a matter of taste, maybe. I mean, you know.
Yeah. That. So this is a major tangent, but I'm going to go here anyway. I am rewatching series 15 of Taskmaster, which is the most recent one that has aired. I say rewatching because it first came out and people snuck it on YouTube in places, and I made sure to watch it. And then copyright people came through and it's all gone.
Oh.
But now I waited and waited and waited and waited, and they finally put it on Amazon and I bought it, and now I'm rewatching it on Amazon. One of the contestants on there is a comedian named Frankie Boyle. Frankie Boyle is an older Scottish comedian who is very famous and successful.
Okay.
He is also very controversial and has been in trouble for his material often. He is very historically, he's been fired from things, and he's gotten in trouble, and he's gotten fined and things like this. Cause he is, in my opinion, one of those, of course, always straight white male comics who seems to be like, nothing is off limits, and I'm going to work really hard to show you that every moment of every day. I am purposely only making jokes about things that I know are going to piss all of you off, just to prove my point. He's in there with the Ricky Gervaises of the world, the Anthony Jeselniks of the world, the Jim Nortons of the world, whatever. And while I do not disagree with their philosophy, I often do not find it funny. And this goes back to, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. So, the Frankie Boyle that is on Taskmaster is largely not that guy.
Hmm.
He is while still very funny and very clever, he is surprisingly kind and sweet. And it is possible that this is like his real self or whatever, but I get the vibe that some of it is may just be he's older now and he's calmer. And there are still moments of that. And he does say some pretty like edgy shit that is still funny. I'm really enjoying it on the show. But anyway, Trish was sort of watching with me, and Trish doesn't know him. So I was like, it's hard to tell from this, but he's actually a very controversial comedian. So the other night, she's packing because we're going to Virginia, and I'm supposed to just sort of keep her distracted while she's packing so she doesn't like get too focused on one thing or lose track or like whatever. So I was like, let's have fun. I went to the Wikipedia page for Frankie Boyle. He has his own major heading just called controversy.
Yeah, right. A lot of those guys do.
And there's all sorts of stuff going, spanning many, 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 many years. With headings including the names of people you've never heard of, names like Queen Elizabeth, that's not a name you haven't heard of. There's names you haven't heard of. There's also Queen Elizabeth. There's also like Israel and Palestine. And then there's also headings that just say like rape of women, which again, he was never accused of doing that.
Oh, it's just some joking.
Again, it had to do with jokes he made about that. And it reminded me of a thing I saw in a documentary years ago, and I cannot remember the name of it. It's a documentary basically about, it's a documentary largely about what are the limits of comedy, but specifically about can you successfully make a funny joke about the Holocaust? And this comes up. And in that documentary, Harry Shearer said something that I really think is critical to comedy. And basically, the more you can make a joke about anything, the more controversial or generally offensive the topic of a joke is, the funnier that joke needs to be.
Right.
If you're making a joke about, oh, I hate my mother-in-law, you can make a pretty mediocre joke and it's fine and people laugh. If you're making a joke about the Holocaust, it needs to be the funniest goddamn thing you've ever heard of in life.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And my problem with a lot of these guys is they really want to show that nothing is off limits and we're going to make jokes about anything. And a lot of the humor comes from, look at me make a joke about this thing. And they're not good jokes. Mm-hmm. And so how did we get on this topic? I don't know. But this is the thing that I have. Like, whenever I hear, I have heard jokes that I'm like, that is a good joke. It is about something I am uncomfortable with. I am personally sort of offended. I'm not bothered by that joke. I'm like, it's just not a joke for me.
Right.
Every time there's these horrible jokes that I am bothered by, ultimately what I'm bothered about is, if you were going to make a joke about that, that was a hack joke. That was a lazy joke.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is funny because we were reading, I think it was the Israel and Palestine section, and I can't remember this, but he basically is fairly angry at Israel in ways that actually I very much understand. But I don't remember what he said, but there was one joke that Trish was like, oh, that's rough. And then they went to a second joke and she's like, okay, that one's rough too, but it's actually really funny. And I was like, exactly, exactly. But I don't know how we got there. Anyway, how is your week again? Who are you? What's happening? I got a headache. I don't know. What's your business?
Just school, like I said. How was your week?
Been real mixed for no particular reason. Except, I'm still not sleeping very well. But it's been a little weird. It's doing pretty good now. We're getting ready to leave. It's a staggered thing. Trish is going to leave tomorrow. I'm going to leave the next day. But we're setting all that stuff up. Let's see what I wrote down. I feel like I need to stretch these out over 2 weeks, though. So, yeah, I only got three things here. And we don't got a ton of time left on this episode, so I shouldn't do too much. All right, first one. You seen the trailer for Blue Beetle? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, so there's been several Blue Beetles. This is like of the later incarnations of him.
I remember watching, there was a Blue Beetle cartoon for a while, and it was a different Blue Beetle than this guy.
And this is an incarnation that I like a lot. I've seen in a lot of things, and I like this. So when they first announced that they were going to have this do this, I thought, great. And the trailer mostly looks good. My only concern is, I don't know if James Gunn is going to, continue. Like, is this going to be a standalone movie with this particular version of this character, and then they won't make any more? Or
sweetie,
how's this going to work? So I'm a little worried about that.
I don't know why. I mean, it's a very clear answer. I know the answer.
Oh. What is
it'll depend on how much fucking money it makes.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
100%. That is what will determine if it gets a sequel.
No, you're right. What I'm uncertain about is if it even has a possibility to make that kind of money when people don't know. Like, I think there are some people who
it's not as widely known of the character.
That, and also, there are people who are motivated to see superhero movies because is this going to be part of a bigger thing? Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's weird, but that's true. A lot of people are like, well, if this is just going to be a one-off and then they're going to change everything, I'm not interested. I know that sounds strange. I know, but that's how some people think.
That's the world we live in now. The cinematic universe pulled it off. And now,
and if people are thinking that way, you're correct. It depends on how much money it makes, but what are the odds that it's going to make that kind of money? Not being a very well-known character and people thinking that it's not going to be part of a larger cinematic universe might make people say, well, I'll wait. That's another thing is streaming. I'll just wait to see it on streaming. I mean, that's such an easy thing to do now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to see it in the theater for that matter. I'd like to. I think I probably will, but I don't know if I will. So I feel like it's going to be good. It looks good. And I like this character and I'm looking forward to it. But I have a feeling, even if it has like a high ratings, high cinema score, good critic response or whatever, even if all that happens, people won't show up to the theater to see it. And even if it's good, it won't do well box office wise is what I'm concerned about. But
that's interesting. I don't think I'm ever concerned about that.
Well, I want to see more of these movies
myself. I will make exceptions. When a person I like is involved and it's sort of their first foray like into films or whatever, if it's a director I know from television or most commonly an actor that I know and this is like their first big thing, I want them to do well. And so then I worry about it. But beyond that, I'm like, whatever. I will say this. I'm done with my superhero movies. And even when I wasn't, I'm not the DC superhero person. If those things weren't true, I would be all over this. I thought that trailer looked really good. Just the very... I think they took a lot of cool things out of some of the recent Spider-Man movies and combined it with some of the things that I've heard about but not seen that seem like they don't go as well in the Venom movies. And it just looks really tight. And it's also very... There's a very strong Latino identity in it.
Exactly.
And it has a whole really bunch good. Of actors... that I recognize by face as his family members and George Lopez.
Well,
and
now,
I'm not going to say I'm excited to see George Lopez. I feel like you're just sort of required to have George Lopez in there at this point, and that's fine.
That
he doesn't bother me, but whatever.
That representation is something that's very popular in the Blue Beetle comics. This Blue Beetle has been around this iteration has been around for a very long time, and it's been pretty much, as far as I know, it's been universally well received. I mean, obviously Latino readers really like it, but everybody likes it, and people have really been wanting to see this particular iteration of Blue Beetle on the screen. The previous iterations, people aren't interested as much. I mean, if you did a iteration of previous Blue Beetles, they'd probably be just like Tony Stark and Iron Man, basically, except Tony Stark being less of a arrogant guy and more of a.
Wasn't there a black Blue Beetle? I thought the cartoon I used to watch, he was black. To be fair, I sometimes mix up Blue Beetle with Static Shock. But
I don't remember a black.
I thought he was. I thought the one in the cartoon was black, but maybe I'm thinking of Static Shock.
And maybe I just don't know because I don't remember a cartoon. But the original Blue Beetle was just really a Batman, like, you know, a rich guy who had gadgets.
Yeah.
And so if they did that today, it would be like I said, a very much a humble and Clark Kent like Iron Man is what it would be, which I don't think anybody wants. So this.
Well, and they retconned it a long time ago where it's an alien something.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
But this character, aside from, like you said, being retconned with some alien technology, you know, it was a very good, you know, because comics have done this before, like in DC Comics, there's the Atom and he's like the Ant-Man of the DC universe or whatever. And yeah. When the second or third iteration
played
of
by
Adam,
Superman,
when the second or third iteration of the Atom came along, that was
an that was Asian a very guy. Polite laugh. Do you not get that joke?
Which joke?
Played by Superman.
No, I get it. Okay.
Then you should have laughed more because it was good.
That was an Asian fellow. I wish I could be more specific if he like what his nationality was. But so they've done that before where they've said, well, this first of all, having new iterations of heroes happens all the time.
Yeah.
So nobody really minds if
like
you have
12 Green Lanterns. And
yeah. Nobody really minds
Miles
if you have
Morales, Spider-Man.
If you have a new iteration and you make it a person of a different race or gender, nobody cares
well,
about that.
That's not even remotely true. But
no, it is
nobody
true.
Who's,
comic
we
books.
Should know. People still get pissed. I'm not saying it's mainstream, and I'm not saying we should listen to these people, but every time there's a new iteration of a superhero, even in comics, and they're not white, there is a contingent of people that are like, fuck that, Stormtroopers weren't black. They always say that line. I don't know why.
I suppose. I mean, I don't.
But by and large, there is much less controversy. You are correct about that.
At least it's not a controversy I ever saw, you know, because I don't really participate in forums on comic books or anything like that. So, because people are, you know, one thing I do see people complain about is when you take an established character and you change their, like, well, yeah, we're going to make Jimmy Olsen a woman or make Jimmy Olsen something. People do complain about that. But if in the continuity of the story, there's just going to be a new or not really Iron Man, I guess, but a new Batman or a new whatever, people are usually pretty open-minded about whoever you pick for that. And when it came to Blue Beetle, I think everybody was fine with who they picked, especially since the character was so well developed and so well drawn. And I think people enjoyed getting a different cultural perspective. And basically that character has been really successful across the board is what I'm saying. And so I think a lot of people are excited to see this movie, but I think it's a very small contingent of people who know this character. So I don't think that's going to carry the thing box office wise. And the reason I'm concerned about the box office is because obviously I want to see more movies with this character and with other DC characters. So that's why
you don't want the company to be like, I guess people don't want to see movies about Hispanic.
Yeah. I don't want that, because unfortunately that does
also fucking happens. Yeah.
That does happen.
So that is a good point. I guess I kind of hope it does as well too. And I might watch it when it shows up on Max or whatever, but I don't really give a shit because it's superhero movies.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's a cultural moment like the Wakanda movies or anything like that. Because those characters weren't ever anything else but black characters and Africa and all this other stuff.
Oh my God. You know,
Blue Beetle has been other types of characters. So it's not quite the same.
It
could be a cultural moment.
My guts are uncomfortable now because I just imagined we're rebooting Black Panther and he's white now. And I'm like, oh, fuck, no!
Or anything
I
other
don't
than,
think that would yeah. happen.
No, I don't think so either.
But my amount that I believe it wouldn't happen is small enough that I'm uncomfortable.
I would love for it to do, you know, like, it was a surprise when Aquaman made $1 billion. I would love a surprise like that. I would love it. I would think that was fantastic. Even if I thought the film, just based on pure objective quality, even if I thought, unfortunately, it's not that great, wouldn't care. If audiences loved it and it hit $1 billion, I think that was wonderful. Well,
and in general, DC films could really use a win at this point. So,
yeah, that's for sure.
Do you know, you're too old and boring.
Both of those things separately, because I was boring when I was younger too.
Sorry. You have not grown boring. You've always been boring, but now you're old.
And boring, yes.
You're boring, and more recently I've noticed you've also become old.
Old.
So you never watched Power Rangers?
No. It's kind of after my time. I might have watched it when I was a kid.
Get that they're color-coded. There's, you know, red, blue, and the colors vary a bit in different iterations. Very commonly the leader is red, but it can vary and things like that, and there are different colors. The original set were five, and it was like red, blue, yellow, black, and pink. And then early on, they got a green one that was actually a bad guy. It was like, an evil Power Ranger, but then eventually he became a good guy. But especially in the early iterations of this, they made it one continuous arc. So it was essentially the same characters. And then periodically, our powers are failing. We have to find the mystical MacGuffin so that we can upgrade to new action figures, you know, that kind of thing. And then often the colors would change and things. And in the sort of second major iteration, one of them was the color was white.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very cool. It was a white tiger sort of thing. It was very neat. It's a problem, though, because when you are talking about these, the nomenclature is as follows. That dude's the Red Power Ranger.
Right.
That's the... So, and it's only fairly recently that I realized that, when I saw something or whatever and somebody made reference to the white Power Ranger. And I'm just like,
White power. Oh my
God. How did we miss this?
Yeah.
Even then it wasn't great, but somehow none of us heard it. But now I definitely hear it.
Yeah, I didn't hear it until just now.
Right? See?
That sounds like the
Now you'll never unhear it. That's the thing. None of us caught it, but it's one of those that once the switch is flipped, you're like you want to go back in time and tell yourself, don't do this.
That would be a great SNL sketch. You'd have all this stuff going on, and then someone says the White Power Ranger, and
in a different way, but in that same vein, the Black Power Ranger is a thing too, but we never caught that one either.
Sure.
And the first Black Power Ranger, actual black dude. So that helps too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was the actor and character was African American. Nice. Anyway. Huh. All right, I gotta talk about my second thing real quick here, and then we should do an email.
Okay.
I don't know why I did this, but like Friday or something, I decided to look for our podcast on YouTube on my television.
Oh.
And watch some of it on my big old big television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had never done that. I have never watched our email. Well, first of all, actually, I went to the channel and subscribed to the channel, and everybody should subscribe to the channel because maybe we'll make money on whatever, because it makes me feel popular. There's an intro on our channel that you clearly put together, or at least I clearly did not put together. It is when we did those video ones in the library.
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly the introduction to that.
Mm.
But like it's cut just as we're about to draw questions, and it has graphics on the screen. Yeah. So clearly you must have done that, because I definitely didn't do that.
Yeah, back when we did that, it was the only thing we had on our YouTube page.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think even at that time, they had, you know, you would select a video that non-subscribed people would see when they went to your page that would sort of introduce you or whatever. So at that time, I decided, well, I'll make a video that introduces the series, and I'll just set that up as the thing.
No, it's great. I have nothing wrong with it. I don't think I ever looked at it. I didn't. I was like, who the fuck made this?
Yeah, I did that.
That's Ben William. Also in that, wow, do we look younger? It's a little scary. And I find it interesting because I'm like, I've always had the beard. The way I trim the beard is very different in that video. Like, it's different. And also was much darker. Go figure. Also, you're fucking wearing glasses. So I've definitely seen you in glasses before.
Oh, was I wearing glasses in that?
You were wearing glasses in it. So I've definitely seen new glasses. But anyway, okay. So I watched a little bit of that, and then I watched our most recent episode. I don't get it. I don't get why people watch this.
Yeah. Well.
Like, why are you guys... It there's a pale dude in a baseball cap saying nothing, barely changing his expressions, and then a fat dude in a dress just nonsensically ranting, like, and with a very like sort of grating tone that like really gets on your nerves fast.
Oh, I don't think so on that score,
but... like I could only watch, I'm going to say, 5 minutes, and not in a group. I had to like fast forward to other parts because I was getting so sick. I mean, bless y'all, but on another different level, go out and live your life. Like, stop. Don't be here. Why would you do that? Why would you waste your precious finite minutes on this? Like, no, what are you doing? I always assumed I didn't watch the podcast because I've already been through it, so I'm not learning anything new. I got whole new reasons to not watch that podcast. That was terrible. I don't know what's
well, happening. At some point after I started school, I made one decision to like, well, maybe I'll just put off watching. And then I haven't watched for probably.
I was going to say for a while, you and Abby would sit down and watch each one.
I just don't have the time really anymore.
Do you feel better and lighter? Like a weight?
No, I didn't have a problem listening to when they were just podcasts. I enjoyed listening to them and I enjoyed watching them. I, like you, often wondered, I don't know why anyone other than me, I mean, Abby liked watching them. Anyone other than Abby and I would like watching because, you know, we like watching it because we like you and we like hearing what you have to wear. I don't find your
that might be
grading and anything.
Yeah, I don't so much. And it might, I might enjoy it if you talk more. I even as those words came out of my mouth, I can't imagine that's what's going on, but I suppose it's possible. Big up there. Anyway, give us an email.
Okay. I feel bad that you didn't have a positive experience. I mean, you don't necessarily.
I feel like making it. That's fine.
Overwhelming positive experience.
And also, I like you had still a negative. Somewhat confident that there are some people out there who like this. And so if I enjoy doing it and there are people who enjoy watching it, cool. We're good. As long as we don't have to switch.
Yeah. Stuart.
Stuart. We usually call him Stu.
Stu. That's how he signs his thing. I should have said Stu.
It's funny. Actually, I think you got it wrong. His Stu is short for Stu Anthropus. That's his full name. Stu Anthropus.
He says, this week I am mostly visiting Portland, Oregon. I think I would.
No way! I was born there!
I think I would quite like to live there. If not the Iowa City area, where would you like to live?
It is funny. My brother used to say that Iowa City reminds him of a small Portland, and I think that's accurate. Portland is very quickly, in recent years, getting sucked up into a lot of issues that just exist by being a big city. And it is a much growing city all the time. And I think Iowa City is a nicer, small version of that. But this is an interesting question. Trish and I have this. I mean, again, you can only leave Iowa one day a year. And if somebody finds the box with your heart in it, whatever. Let's assume that's not the case. Let's assume that your immortal burden attached to this state as its avatar didn't exist.
Well, now he didn't specify leaving the state, said leaving the Iowa City area.
Oh, God, you suck. If I didn't live in Iowa City, I think I'd move to North Liberty. Like, God.
Okay, fine. I'll think of another state.
Let's get outside of Iowa. Like, let's take it as read that there's a bunch of places in Iowa that you would be okay moving to.
Oh, lots of places.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's say, I don't know what you did, but the entire state of Iowa collectively is like, you can't be here anymore.
Oh, that'd be so sad.
Where are you going to move?
Minnesota.
Trish and I think about this. I don't think Trish and I will ever leave Iowa City. We really like Iowa City. If we left Iowa City, I think we would definitely leave Iowa. I am at the point now where I am not super fond of the rest of the state.
Mm.
It's fun to visit, but in general. So we do sometimes play that sort of game. But what do you think you would do?
Yeah, just Minnesota. I just go north. I mean, I might have to.
If Minnesota kicked you out, you'd just head up into Canada.
I might have to do that anyway. This summer has been really, really bad for me. I've been sick many, many days this summer.
You blame Iowa?
I blame the heat and the humidity. I get the heat, migraines.
I don't know that that's going to get better in a Minnesota summer.
Well,
have
if
you
I go
ever
far
spent
enough,
a Minnesota summer?
If I go far enough north,
I mean, you know, yeah. But I've been to Duluth. You might be outside of Minnesota at that point. Even the boundary waters are pretty hot and humid this time of year.
I've been to Duluth. I know how. I mean, yes, Minnesota is going to have a summer months that are going to probably be uncomfortable, but they won't be as long. There won't be as many of them. You know, the winters are longer. I like winter. I don't get really bad headaches in the winter. I know that's counterintuitive. Like when you get older, you're supposed to move further south. But for me, for whatever reason, if it's too warm and too humid, like I've talked to some people about this because, you know, the only evidence I have that my migraines, serious, I get sick, you know, vomiting, whole thing, migraines, happens when certain weather events are also happening. I mean, that's the only correlation. And it's gotten worse since the surgery. So, and then like, if it finally rains, everything's fine.
Oh, okay.
I feel 100% better. I don't have a headache. I don't feel overheated. I don't, or anything like that. So, you know, if summers start being like this, if I am like suffering with horrible migraines and stuff like that every summer because of however the summer works, you know, I might have to move north because I can't just be sick all summer.
You may need to get yourself a RV or something, because thanks to the joys of climate change, I think you may be
have to keep
fleeing that. Yeah, no, I'm dead serious. But we also should specify this summer is particularly bad health wise because there are a whole bunch of Canadian particles in the air, like all.
Oh, yeah, there's that too. So who knows? Who knows?
I was very worried. I noticed an uptick in face masks recently. And I was like, oh shit, is there a big wave of COVID or something? And I'm like, no, it's because it sucks to breathe the air.
Yeah, particulates. Yeah.
And I think that for me, that's been a lot of it too. But
yeah,
Minnesota's good. I like Minnesota.
If I had to leave Iowa, I would just, I mean, and, you know, Abby likes
Minnesota. There's some other good ones, though. You're just throwing out Wisconsin, Michigan. Those are cool places too.
They are. But I mean, it seems like if I were to go to, say, like I said, Duluth, that'd be like due north from my family. And, you know, if I veer east or west, I'm just increasing that distance. So, you know, I'm just going to, I'll just go the least distance to get out of the state, which would pretty much always be Minnesota.
See, and that's a problem for me, because if I'm heading in that direction, I cannot simultaneously get further away from my family and further away from my in-laws. So like, damned if I do, damned if I don't, kind of thing.
Right.
So,
but I mean, I don't have an interest in, like, I mean, I shouldn't say that. You know, there are states mostly further west that I'm interested in visiting. And since I've never visited there, I don't know if I would go there and go, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Also, Alaska. I mean, my brother's in Alaska. That's further north. There are a lot of things that I've never been there, but there are a lot of things I hear about it that I like. It would be nice. I mean, I'd be closer to that part of the family. So that's a possibility, I guess. It's kind of far, but that's a possibility. Alaska, possibility. So I don't know. What about you?
Well, first and foremost, if all other things are equal and I could just do it, not this country.
You'd leave the United States?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that, I don't think.
First on my list would be basically any Western European country or any Scandinavian country. I'm not sure all of those count as Western Europe, but any of those I would love. Canada, I think I would like better. Definitely any of those. But if we want to stick with the US, it is tough because back in the day, I could have told you a lot of places, but, and this is weird to say, and it's also weird to say to you, because you're going to like grin and I'm not going to enjoy it, but my identity is really, I'm kind of an Iowan now. Like, and for all that I may have issues with a lot of aspects to this state, this is where I am, and this is the person I am, lives here, sort of. I think my identity is sort of tied into it now.
Do you think the fact that you went to Grinnell has anything to do with that? Like, I mean, it feels like when people go to college, they get really connected to where they went to college sometimes.
I mean, one could argue that's the case of that town, and that was a bad idea because Grinnell, the town, is not the same as Grinnell, the college. Mm. But no, actually, I always, even when I was there, assumed I was, but the only reason I stayed in Grinnell after graduation was, at least subconsciously, the idea that I could sort of keep my college years going.
Oh.
And then that failed, and I came here because I had friends here. I gained friends during that time. And then I married Trish, and back when we first got together, I would have been like, yeah, hopefully we can move to Oregon. But Trish was always like, nope, I want to live in Iowa. I want to stay in Iowa. And I was like, ah, fuck. Well, okay, I love her well enough. And Iowa City School, that's fine. But now I'm like, no, this is me too. This is my place. And when I go back to Oregon, Oregon has a lot of issues, some of which I just wasn't aware of when I was younger, and some of which are new since I left. But I mean, if you're gonna make me go to another state, Oregon is probably high on the list. Washington might be a little higher. I might prefer up in Washington. But also, like, I mean, if I it's a less interesting answer, but like Madison, Wisconsin, I think that would be a great place to live.
So what was Trish's interest in staying in Iowa? I mean, she's not,
I don't know. She's crazy.
I mean, you know, like Madison, you know, Green Bay, lots of places in Michigan. I mean, Michigan's a beautiful state, especially in the
upper peninsula. And then, of course, you get into a lot of factors where a lot of the really good places to live cost a lot to live there.
Yeah, more money.
And that's the thing. So, like, years ago, I figured out that at least at present, purely from a climate perspective, the best place for me to live in the United States, San Francisco.
Really, from a climate perspective?
Yes, because it's never too hot, never too cold, just in a way that works for me. It also happens to be literally the most expensive place to live in the country. So that's a problem. And I do love Iowa City small, but it's a lot cheaper than other places. But it's more, it has more resources than a lot of comparable size cities. And in those cities, it is cheaper to live. Like, this is the constant thing. The better the place, usually the more expensive to live. The only exception being if you find a place that you like that for some reason, like, nobody else likes. But when a place is attractive, people come there, drives up the cost of living. And so that's a complicated. So, yeah, when I talk about, you know, all other things being equal, like moving to Europe and things like that, there are so many logistical and financial things to consider that complicate matters. But if we're throwing all that aside and I just get to live wherever I want, then, yeah.
I
really like Iowa City. I don't think I'm going to go anywhere.
I don't think I'd leave the United States, but some places that I really like that I visited, again, west, moving east doesn't appeal to me at all. I mean, that's even part of what makes me a little reluctant to say go to Michigan or Wisconsin, or, you know, there's great places in Ohio and Kentucky. And not, if I'm going to go a direction and it's not north, it's going to be west. But
I'm the same. I'm not positive why, except that I have gone to the east much less often. Other than Virginia Beach, I've basically gone to the east coast like three times. And two of those times were in Florida, and I will fucking kill myself before I live in Florida. For it used to be a short list of reasons, but the list, the reasons are growing heavily all the time.
Yeah, I can't go south at all. One of the things I've liked
about Austin, Austin could have been nice.
Oh, there's lots of places in Texas that would be fun, I think.
It just get too hot for you down there.
Yeah, yeah.
In certain places, though, the humidity goes away.
Well, there's that. I mean, I sometimes wonder about, like, Arizona. Even when I was down there, it got pretty hot. I wore a suit, basically, to all my classes stuff. Perfectly comfortable, perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, but one thing I have always liked about places I've gone west is the strong influence of Native American cultures just about everywhere you go. And you just don't, you know, even in Iowa, you don't get that, you know, for states when you head east, you can, if you're interested in what Native American groups existed on certain places and you do your research, like I often do when I go someplace, I'm interested to know, well, what Native groups lived there first. I often find there's like a museum or something I can visit and I'll do that. But when you go to, like, you know, South Dakota, or if, definitely if you go to Oklahoma, the influence of Native American cultures is like all around you. And I like that.
And it does, that interests me. As a very broad rule, tend to increase the further west you go. And I have a theory about that. Have I told you about this?
No.
So I have a theory. So, broadly speaking, white settlers to this country have gone from East Coast to West Coast.
Broadly speaking.
Slowly over time.
They, like during the gold rush, there was a little bit of a skip over. But
There were jumps in North and South is involved. But broadly speaking, we're just across the continent.
Broadly speaking. I agree.
So you start off. I mean, and I should say that in this process of crossing over, killing native populations has always been a viable strategy. I do not want to give the white man too much credit about anything. One easy thing was, hey, I want to live in that spot. I'm going to murder you, and then I can live. And that happened all the way up to the West Coast plenty. And much later on. And also in Canada. So whatever. Anyway, that we're taking that off the table. White man sucks. Slaughtered native populations. Absolutely. However, when you start, both because of the time period and because you're just now reaching the land, you're like, screw these people. They're not even real people, whatever. Push them back. You go there. We're going to live here now. So you go west into where there be dragons. And you keep doing that. And then you're like, oh, you know, that land you're on now, pretty nice. I think we're going to come over there. You? Oh, go west. You go west. We're going to Trail of Tears your shit. Whatever. And it's especially good if it can be like, that's a shitty part of land. You can live there. The further west you go, the less viable that is. The more you have the land mapped out and the less land there is left to be, the less viable it is to say, just go west and we'll continue to ignore you. So at a certain point, you got to face that issue, and you kind of have to develop some sort of relationship of asymmetrical power structures and supreme exploitation and dehumanizing, yes, but it's still a relationship. And I also think as this went on and time marched on, as a society, we got a little bit better about being like, oh, these are people also, and they also have cultures and things, and maybe we should not just flush all that down the toilet. Very slow process. But I think as you move across, both in time and in physical space, the necessity of acknowledging those cultures gets greater. And by the time you hit the West Coast, there is a lot of interaction with the indigenous populations. Both in terms of explorers, but also in terms of just living. The people would settle and they would have relationships with settlements of indigenous people that lasted many, many generations and things like that. And in the West Coast, there's huge Pacific Northwest indigenous populations. There's so many great sites for that, and we know so much about it, so much, a lot of the languages. I mean, a lot is still lost, but when you compare it to the indigenous populations that lived in Massachusetts, let's say, there's no question. Night and day.
I mean, there are many reservations in the West that were made. So there's reservations in the West that were made for native populations coming from the East, but there are also reservations in the West that were made for the indigenous population that was already there.
Reservations that then later didn't look so bad, and they got pushed off of those reservations to shittier reservations.
So, but the West is, for one thing, it's hard to look at a map of the continental U.S. and really appreciate how big the West is. I mean, to this day, the white population, the population of people moving into those areas that aren't on the coast, very, very small. Meanwhile, the more native people you move into that area, the more of them there are in that area. So you've got vast areas of land that nobody's really touching. And you've got a population of European Americans that aren't overwhelmingly outnumbering anymore the population of native populations, because so many native populations have moved in. So between that political reality of, well, there's not so many white people anymore, to there's just lots and lots and lots of land, lots of space, right? I think those two things make the whole cultural and political and legal calculus come out differently. Still, though, of course, you have native people living on sometimes the worst land that's out there, without ability to do a lot of things with it because they have to ask the federal government first and all this other stuff.
Yeah. So at our best, we as white people and we as American society still treat indigenous populations like shit. I do not want that to not be clear.
But somehow, though, probably just because there's native people living, like when you go to South Dakota, there's a reservation up there. When you go to Oklahoma, there's reservations all over. Wherever you go, you will see the influence of these cultures. And it's, to me, it is so, I don't know. I just love it. It just makes me so happy to go to a state that where you don't have to go to a library or get online or research really hard to find, who lives here? Who did live here? No, you can find out really easily. And a lot of these native groups will form cooperatives and things to make art that they can, beautiful Native American art that they can sell in just about everywhere. So if you're interested in buying that kind of thing, you can buy it. But if you just like seeing the cultural artifacts of these amazing rich cultures, you can. It's just all over the place. And I just love it. I like that about the West, that it's not, of course, the situation with Native Americans in the United States is still pretty deplorable, but at least they're not invisible in the West. They don't seem to be invisible to me when you go West. When you're in the East, and even in Iowa, lots of people don't even think about
that. They could sneak up on you, and before you know it,
There is a reservation in Iowa, the Tama Reservation, and they have a casino and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, for the most part, there's nothing in Iowa that reminds you that Native people were here. You have to think about it. You have to pay attention to it. You have to seek it out. But you go to a lot of states. If you go to a lot of states in the West, the cultural impact of the Native people is all around you. And I don't know. For me, that just feels really good. I appreciate that. I wish things were better, of course, but that at least is really nice that they're not invisible.
I think that makes sense to me. I mean, for the most part, I don't see color, so I'm not sure what it is you're even talking about. But
I just appreciate the people who were here before us. I really do. I always have, even when I was a little kid. I thought, oh, what were those people like? What did they do?
See, I don't appreciate anyone, living, dead. I get that. All right. All right. Let's wrap this shit up. We got another one we got to do. All right. Go to the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us if you're one of those racist people who sees color. Or if you're enlightened like me. Also, remind me what I said Stu was short for, because I forgot, and I thought that would be a really good episode title. Episode title, and not super comfortable with just calling it Invisible Indians. Also, write in, email us, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with whatever the crap you want, and that would be good. Listen next week, which for us will be like 5 minutes away. Did you ever watch RRR?
No.
Fucking watch RRR, you bastard. It's an unbelievably amazing movie. Now, go do it right now.
No.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.